Do you know what else is good crack? The RHI, are you watching it? You know, do you set an odd day aside to watch a feed from RHI? It is actually turning out this week to be relatively exciting. And today, it could be very interesting because one of the really big names in the DUP is up today. However, you may not know much about him. Let me speak to Sam McBride, who's the political editor with the newsletter. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Frank.
Just remind us who is up today, because he is quite a hitter in the DUP, isn't he?
That's right. This is Timothy Johnston. He's now the chief executive of the DUP. He was a special advisor to three DUP leaders, to Ian Paisley, to Peter Robinson, and then to Arlene Foster. He was there at the right hand of every DUP leader for something like 15 years now. Somebody who is incredibly influential, not just within the DUP, but within Stormont. He was really, in many ways, seen as the power behind the throne, if you like. He was somebody who wielded enormous influence, enormous clout within the corridors of Stormont, and somebody who really is very, very difficult, I suppose, for the DUP to replace. The DUP is a very centralised party. They operate to a very regimented structure where there is a very top-down system. Orders come from the top, and in many cases, MLAs are told just what to do, and they're told how to vote in a certain way. They're told what the party will be doing in certain areas. Certainly under Peter Robinson and Ian Paisley and Arlene Foster, that is how the party has operated. And in that system, Timothy Johnston has been a crucial figure, somebody who has really been central to the move from the old DUP, if you like, to the new DUP, somebody who has professionalised a lot of their operations and really, I suppose, brought in a lot of the practices of how politics operates in Westminster, and really somebody who is very, very significant to the DUP, and on the evidence of some people to the RHI inquiry, somebody who is potentially very significant to their inquiry as well.
Timothy Johnston, with regards to the power that he has, and, you know, he's a face that certainly anyone who works in the media knows him coming in and out of newsrooms and so on and so forth, and you instantly recognise him. People in the street won't know his face maybe until they see him possibly in your paper or on the TV today. When you say powerful, is he as powerful as the leader of the DUP on some occasions?
Well, that's one of the questions which is before the inquiry, ironically. This is something which is in dispute. Mr. Johnston has told the inquiry in his written evidence that there was no hierarchy of special advisers. He doesn't accept that there was even an understanding among his colleagues that there was any sort of hierarchy with him at the top of that hierarchy. However, on the evidence of lots of other people, both civil servants, senior civil servants, and former DUP members or current DUP members, there is evidence that he was an absolutely critical figure within how Stormont operated. So Timothy Kearns, who was a special advisor colleague, he was the advisor to Jonathan Bell when he was the minister running the scheme, he said that Mr. Johnston was actually more senior than anyone in the party, with the exception of the leader. So that puts him above people who are MLAs, who are MPs, puts him above Stormont ministers. Now, that is one person's opinion, but that is the opinion of somebody who worked alongside him over many years, both in DUP headquarters and then in Stormont. And that gives you a sense of the significance of this figure to the inquiry. There is a lot of conjecture around exactly what happened. And really, there are two big questions which I think the inquiry are going to be trying to get to the bottom of today. First of all, was there a hierarchy with Timothy Johnston at the top? That is one thing. And if there was a hierarchy, did that then mean that he used that hierarchy to communicate to Mr. Kearns that cost controls on the RHI scheme should be delayed at a point where the scheme was running out of control? Mr. Johnston's evidence is very clear on that. He says very robustly that did not happen. So not only was there not a system whereby he could have communicated that because there was no hierarchy, but even if there was, he says that he never at any point took any particular interest in this scheme, and he certainly didn't ask for cost controls to be delayed. So those two big questions, I think, are going to dominate today. But in the background of that, there will be lots of other fascinating revelations, I think, about how Stormont operated, about what went on at the very highest levels, about how the DUP interacted, not just with the civil service, but with Sinn Féin, how the special advisers worked to smooth things over in the background, how they struck deals in back rooms, how they interacted with their parties. Lots of that, I think, will be very, very interesting to the public, even if they don't know who Timothy Johnston is.
The last two people in, we knew them to see. We know their names, and the general public may have been seeing or hearing about them for the first time. They spoke over the last couple of days with varying degrees of confidence. Would you expect Timothy Johnson to be an eloquent, confident person when he sits and faces the gallery?
It's certainly true that Timothy Johnson is a highly capable figure. He is an accountant by background. He has been working at the very highest levels of government, writing speeches, meeting US presidents, meeting prime ministers, involved in high-level negotiations for many, many years. So he is not somebody who is likely to be taking stage fright. Having said that, he is somebody who has not, to the best of my knowledge, ever faced public questioning, certainly in front of a camera, about his role. He is somebody who likes to operate in the background. Like many special advisors, he does not like publicity. He will not be happy with what is going on at the moment. He will not be welcoming the fact that people do know who he is, the fact that his picture is on the front page of newspapers or across the television. That is not something which advisors relish. They want to operate in the background. They do not want people to be asking questions of them or of what they are doing. And so the very fact that he's facing questions is a very uncomfortable process for any special advisor. And I know that certainly that is not something which Mr. Johnson will be comfortable with. But I think it will be very interesting to see how he answers those questions. And I think one of the failures, if you like, of the Stormont system is not so much that there were special advisors. Actually, there's a very good argument for having advisors to assist ministers, to help them, to help to remind the civil service, if you like, at various points that their minister has a democratic mandate and that he is somebody who ought to be listened to. But I think one of the failures, if you like, of the Stormont system was that there wasn't enough accountability for special advisors. And whereas maybe they ought to have been called before Stormont committees more frequently, they ought to have been asked questions, that was something which really didn't happen. And if the real power in some of these instances was residing in the advisor, I think it's very difficult to argue that the advisor shouldn't be accountable in a very transparent way for what they were doing.
Sam, thank you very much indeed. Sam McBride is the political editor with the newsletter, and the RHI, the Recenta, they says he Recenta. Well, there's a word and a half for you. The renewable heat incentive in that inquiry continues today. Right, 02890 333 105, 02890 333 105, whatever's on your mind.